From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, in recognition of the fishing industry, which provides over 58,000 Alaskan jobs from a renewable source.
The focus for the most recent Board of Fish meeting was Bristol Bay finfish. I spoke with KDLG's Izzy Ross, who has been covering the meeting.
In October, the State Department of Fish and Game recommended that the Board of Fisheries designate the Nishigat King salmon as a stock of concern. The board agreed to do that at its work session at the end of October, and that gave the state less than a month to put together a draft action plan to essentially provide a suite of options, as they say, to deal with management of these Nishigat King salmon runs. After a lot of testimony from the public and from advisory committees around Bristol Bay asking to push back this decision, the board decided to do that. So they'll be considering both the Nishigat King Salmon Action Plan as well as three proposals dealing with the current King Salmon Management Plan. They pushed that back until March. Essentially, members of the public and advisory committees said, "We haven't had enough time to digest this. We want more time to look at both the King proposals as well as the action plan to develop constructive and robust input and recommendations for the board." So now the board is going to be deciding about all of this at their March meeting.
In that region, they have seen historically high sockeye runs at the same time they have seen crashes in other salmon species, often in the same drainages. How has that complicated the management process for the Board of Fish?
Right. So, a little background here. Nine rivers across Bristol Bay count sockeye escapement, but state managers and biologists in the Nishigat District, on the west side of the commercial fishery, are the only ones that are directly dealing with escapement counts for other species. The Nishigat River is the last place in Bristol Bay where king and chum escapements are counted. There used to be escapement goals in other rivers, but those have been eliminated. So in those areas, the state isn't counting other species and isn't dealing with this escapement goal dynamic specifically. So the lower returns of kings and chum in recent years have definitely complicated management for Nishigat District biologists. They're tasked with a few goals at the same time, making sure enough kings make it up the river, allowing harvest opportunities for subsistence, sport, and commercial fishermen, and trying to control sockeye escapement up the river, which has been really high in recent years. So it's definitely, to answer your question, it definitely has complicated management in the Nishigat District, especially because managers there are dealing with multiple escapement goals for multiple species.
Right, you have the sockeye that you were worried about over escapement, at the same time you're worrying about not achieving minimum escapement for other species.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Well, in Cook Inlet, we've seen commercial sockeye fishing curtailed in an effort to help king salmon escapement. Is that something that they're considering around Nooshigak?
So managers have already done that to a certain extent within the current regulations. In the commercial fishery in recent years, when the kings are projected to fall short of the goal, managers have held off on opening the Nooshigak to sockeye fishing until escapement up the Wood River has passed 100,000 sockeye. The state designated Nooshigak king salmon as a stock of concern in October, so the Department of Fish and Game drafted an action plan to address that concern. What the draft action plan does is provide 6 options on how to approach commercial fisheries management moving forward, and these really run the gamut from staying with current regulations to pushing commercial sockeye fishermen into a special harvest area in the Wood River, reducing net mesh size and length, creating an escapement goal for sockeye that's higher than the current upper end goal, reducing the time and area for commercial fishing, or even keeping the commercial fishery closed until a certain date. So managers have, within current regulations, restricted commercial fishing really early in the season to try to protect kings, and we could see more of that depending on what the Board of Fisheries decides on the action plan at its statewide meeting in March.
Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.
Well, what about subsistence fishermen? Does the stock of concern designation have any direct impact on them?
So it doesn't right now. The stock of concern itself doesn't affect subsistence fishing opportunity. Subsistence fishing is also obviously the highest priority in state regulations. In the department's draft action plan for Nooshigak kings, it laid out 4 options for subsistence. So any changes to subsistence fishing would also come from what the board decides to do at that March meeting.
The current stock assessment program for king salmon in the region has been described as having a, quote, high level of uncertainty, close quote, and it was reported that king salmon capture by sockeye fishermen is probably underreported. How much of a problem is the lack of accurate counting tools?
Right. A lot of different entities say that this is a huge problem, the Board of Fisheries included. Escapement numbers for sockeye, kings, and chum in the Nooshigak have come from a sonar counter about 25 miles upriver from the commercial fishing district. That sonar provides an index of runs and then staff catch fish and test fishing sets to get an estimate of how that total salmon run is divided up between species. In staff reports at the recent Board of Fisheries meeting, state managers and biologists said the Nooshigak sonar counter wasn't providing reliable counts for king salmon, and a lot of people who testified following that pointed to those department reports saying they didn't want to decide on king management without reliable data. Board of Fisheries members also said that it was a real issue for them because they are trying to make these critical management decisions in the Nooshigak and also in the greater Bristol Bay area, but they don't have data that is reliable, or in a lot of cases, they don't have data at all. At several different points during the meeting, board members asked what research is being done to address those gaps. The department renewed its aerial survey program in 2019, and that happens during king salmon spawning in early August, which gives them additional data to supplement the sonar counts. The department is also working on a run reconstruction model to kind of combine all of the different counting methods that have been used for Nooshigak runs since counting started in the late 70s to get a more accurate estimate of the historical runs of kings up the Nooshigak River. Those are some of the efforts that the department is taking to look at that. There is a research component of the action plan that outlines those in more detail.
Well, you mentioned earlier that they have discontinued some of the spots that they used to watch for fish because of funding. I mean, does it just come down to funding and putting up new sonar and new weirs to get better counts?
Basically, there used to be aerial surveys that were done to count escapement for other species and other rivers of Bristol Bay, and those have been discontinued. And that has also been a point of discussion at the Bristol Bay Finfish meeting. You know, board members pointed out that because they didn't have records of escapement in some of these areas, it was difficult for them to determine what to do with certain proposals. And in a couple of instances, they said, you know, we don't have specific enumeration of these runs, but we are listening to local advisory committees who have expressed this concern while we wait for better data. But yeah, it's tough because budgetary issues have restricted a lot of data gathering around Bristol Bay. And so now we're at this place where we're waiting for these new projects to come forward so that we can then get better data so that managers as well as these state boards can make better decisions about how to move forward with regulations in the fishery.
In the whole meeting, if there was two things you heard about consistently, was that gap in data, and the second one was, and Commissioner Vincent Lang was very specific about this, that it was very difficult for them to put together a draft action plan in the time limit that they had. And he went so far as to ask the board to consider changing the way it schedules its meetings. You could speculate so that they wouldn't have to present a draft action plan, you know, in less than a month.
You know, I think when Commissioner Vincent Lang asked the board to consider that timeline, I think he really was saying, you know, there was a work session at the end of October, and we had to work on this in less than a month because of the proximity of these two meetings. So I think that was really what he was talking about. I don't know if he was necessarily asking the Board of Fisheries to reschedule all of its meetings, but I do think that, you know, he wanted to bring attention to that timeline, that kind of restricted timeline that the department had.
Right, because that is something that could continue to happen. Because they only have so much time to crunch their numbers to come up with a recommendation of whether to recommend a stock of concern. And at that point, they're immediately butting up against that work session that's scheduled then.
Right. Normally, department staff would consider making a stock of concern recommendation to the board way back in the winter before the summer season. But the department decided to wait until after this summer to see how the King Runs did in 2022, and that's another reason why they had this kind of constricted timeline.
Oh, I see. So that this is sort of specific to this run.
It seems that way, yeah. I'm not an expert on action plans around the state, but it seems like this is a relatively specific instance, yeah.
Well, all right. Well, thanks a lot, Izzy. I sure appreciate all your time and effort.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Sherry.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.